3, 2, 1.
My talk title is Being the Witness. And I want to talk today about being the witness. But first, because our theme this month is definitions, I want to talk about a definition. So here's a question for you. What is being conscious mean? If you've been watching the last week or two, I've been talking about being conscious. So what does that mean? Is it about social sensitivity, being conscious about what's happening in society and being socially aware? Is it about political awareness? Is it about spiritual awakening? Yes, all of them. Yeah. But maybe I'm also talking about the having of mental faculties that are not dulled by sleep, faintness, or stupor. That's a definition of conscious. Or the act of waking up in the morning. That is what conscious means. How about coming to after passing out? Hopefully you don't do that too often. That's an example of being conscious. There's a gentleman named David J. Chalmers, and he wrote this great book. I haven't finished it yet, but so far it's great, called The Conscious Mind. And in there, he was talking about the definition of conscious, and he said, I could tell you a story about how fields, waves, and particles in the spatial-temporal manifold interact in subtle ways, leading to the development of complex systems such as brains. He could talk about that, he says, in this book. But conscious, being conscious, is more than that. And I'm not talking about that definition of conscious. There's a story, and I think I've read it to you guys before, but I love this story. It's called The Wise Master. It's a story from the Jataka tales of ancient India. And this story talks about being conscious best. Listen. There once was a teacher who lived with a great number of students in a run-down old school. Now, the students supported themselves by begging for food in the bustling streets of a nearby town. And some of the students grumbled about their humble living conditions, and so in response, the old master decided one day to sit them all down and say, "You know what? We must repair the walls of this temple. And since we occupy ourselves with study and meditation, there's really no time to earn the money we will need. So I have thought of a simple solution," the teacher says. And all the students were eagerly listening. And they leaned in closer to the words of their teacher. And the master said, "Each of you must go into the town and steal goods that can be sold for money. In this way, we will be able to do the good work of repairing our temple." And the students were startled at this suggestion from their great master, their wise master. I mean, since they respected him greatly, they assumed he must have good judgment. And so they decided not to protest. And the wise master said sternly, "Now, in order to not defile our excellent reputation by committing illegal and immoral acts, please be certain to steal when no one is looking. I do not want anyone to be caught." And then the teacher walked away. Once he did that, the students started rumbling and mumbling to each other and discussing the plans among themselves. And one of them said, "Hey, it's wrong to steal, right? Well, why has our master asked us to do this?" And another one said, "Well, it will allow us to build our temple, which is a good result, right? So then it's a good thing, right?" And finally, they all agreed that their teacher was wise and just and must have a sensible reason for making such an unusual request. And so they set out eagerly for the town, promising each other that they would not disgrace their school by getting caught. "Be careful," each one called out to each other. "Don't let anyone see you stealing," they reminded each other. And all the students left for this journey except for one boy. One young boy stayed behind. And the wise man approached him. And the master asked him, "Son, why do you stay behind?" And the boy responded, "I cannot follow your instructions to steal where no one will see me. Wherever I go, God is watching me, and I am always there watching myself too. My own eyes will see me steal." The wise master smiled, and a tear came to his eye. And he went over and he embraced the boy. And he said, "I was just testing the integrity of my students. And you are the only one who has passed the test. Run, my boy, and tell your friends to return to the temple before they get us into trouble." And the boy did so. And he, too, went on to become a great master teacher himself. Now, before we go on, I want you to understand that the idea of God watching us, as the boy mentions in that story, is not about the Santa Claus God that gives, takes, and punishes. What he was talking about is the law of cause and effect that recognizes the stealing as a belief one is not good enough to have, not good enough to receive, not good enough to deserve, not smart enough to earn. Not that God is watching you to punish you, but that the law is listening. And if that is your perspective on life, that you can't, as in this instance, raise the money to fix the roof, then it's your perspective on life. And that is what the law is going to bring into your experience. Not that God is watching you and punishing you for stealing or even thinking about stealing. But it is your own inner nature. It is your own vibration that understands that that is not the way to do it. That that is a perspective of lack and limitation. To make choices that engages the wisdom of the divine, to vibrate at the speed of the divine, we must cultivate these divine qualities that is already there within ourselves and express them intentionally until they become habitual. Our goal here is to bring forth what is already within us, to awaken our true power, love, wisdom, and joy by focusing our minds on wise and constructive choices, stealing not being one of them. Choices that become eventually as natural as breathing. Choices that show up as daily as the sun does and as nightly as the moon will. Choices that are stored in the subconscious and are automatically responded with from the unconscious. Do you want to react from old stories, hurt and pain, the junk ideas of lack and limitation, the triggers of being done wrong or how you were brought up or other excuses, explanations, and justifications? Of course not. Of course not. You don't want to steal. You don't want to take from someone else something which they haven't given you or authorized you to have. You want to receive it by focusing on and knowing your true self, which is that the universe shall provide. Oh yes, we have to believe that. We have to many times take action to be in the right place at the right time to receive that. But the universe will do the how. The universe will bring it forth to you. We are imbued by source to have an awareness of our own existence. an awareness of one's own awareness, even an awareness of our awareness to witness ourselves. And when we witness ourselves, that's what the boy was talking about. We see ourselves. I know I will be stealing, said the boy. I will see it in the mirror. I will see it in my eyes. I will see it in my soul, that I have a perspective of lack and limitation, that I have a perspective that I cannot earn it, that I cannot receive it with ease from the universe. In this witnessing, in this awareness, we can do amazing things. We can manifest our indwelling magnificence because it's there. Whether we choose to accept our indwelling magnificence is a choice we get to make. We can do amazing things like manifest our next journey, our next fun and exciting experience. We can manifest our best life just in general. We can change what seems to be our reality. And without the filters or the colorings from those triggers, those old stories, those junk ideas of lack and limitation, the shadow that you might be having in your life, the darkness, the shoulda, woulda, couldas, the various not good enoughs, we can go beyond that by staying aware and being witness to those times when those triggers, etc., are occurring. Now, in this awareness, in this witnessing, you know, we may sometimes bring forth a little resistance because that may seem unnatural and it may feel wrong for some reason, you know, not necessarily wrong in an ethical way, although it may as well, but just it's not my usual way. We might start getting pissed off or feeling off or unnatural or worse than you did before you started doing the awareness work, the witnessing work, the spiritual practice work, or maybe during the early times of the spiritual practice work when you're focusing on being your magnificence. You may feel confused and wanting to quit this teaching. Oh, this law of attraction stuff, this law of cause and effect, this manifestation stuff, it doesn't work. Because you believe it doesn't work, then you are, you become part of the statistical world of what just kind of shows up. I think it was Henry Ford that says, what you think shows up. But maybe you get confused. Maybe you feel like you want to return to that Santa Claus philosophy of the universe. You want to release your control over your choices. You want to be okay with being the victim and let life just happen to you versus from you. But that's okay. That might happen in the beginning. Push through it. Because remember, and this is most important, you are the thinker. You are not the thought. And if you want to let the thinking be done by others, then you'll have to live by their thoughts, by their opinions, by their judgments of you, not yours. Not that which comes from the divine intelligence that is within you. That which comes from knowing that you individualize God right here, right now. And all the power and presence and beauty and love and wisdom that entails, if you choose to know that. Now, if you stay curious, if you stay open and heart-centered and aware, if you allow yourself to witness any reactions and emotions you have that get triggered, I get it, by old stories and junk ideas, if you allow yourself to witness those reactions with neutrality and curiosity, that any of that resistance that might show up in the confusion, the uncomfortableness, or the getting stuck in the addiction or trigger, as you witness it, as you do just a few little tools in addition to continuing your spiritual practice, you'll see that getting less and less and less and less. You are the witness and that which is witnessed. And the witnessing is the antidote to the resistance that may show up. That may show up when you're working this stuff. And you have to work this stuff. You have to be witness. You have to be aware. You have to take action steps in mind and body. You getting angry? Stop and witness that has happened. Stop and witness. I am angry. And call it out. Here I go again, getting angry at this, that, or the other, whatever it is, X, Y, Z. Or there it is. There's the upset. Look at me. I got all upset about that. Or maybe you'll think in your head, oh, well, hello, pissed off. You've come home again. If you're getting freaked out and feeling not in control because of this work, especially because of this work, because some resistance may show up, then just lie down. Just stop, take a breath, and feel the emotions without any agenda. Don't have any. There it is. There's that anger again. There's that dismay again. There's that, this, that, or the other negative emotion again. Okay, there it is. And this might help. Write it down. Write all that down. Write it down like you're giving a report to a teacher. I am having this reaction. I'm not responding. I'm having this reaction and this emotion. And write it down with no opinion, no judgment. Just witness it. Just witness it. Don't get into shame, blame, or guilt. It helps no one. Have no agenda. Just notice. Just notice it. Does it stay the same or change when you look in that proverbial mirror and say, well, there you are, anger. Oh, hello, pissed off. Does it change? Move around. Change your physiology. Does that change it? Does that lessen it? Because, you know, a lot of times when we get angry or pissed off or stuck, our body gets stuck too. Unstick your body. Do a power pose. Like I said, lie down, sit down, go outside. Allow your physiology to change this junk going on in your head. Count backwards from five. Does it lessen its power over you? Does it lessen that trigger, that emotion, that reaction over you? I bet you it does, and I bet you it will. You know, you don't have to like these emotions, these triggers, or these reactions that you have to certain things while you're working to not have them anymore. But like I've said before, you want to love them. Like I talked about when I tell the story about some kidney stones I had many, many years ago, I certainly didn't like that event, but I learned very quickly, and this was over 4 days because I had these things for 4 days, this pain. I learned to love it because I was learning a lesson. Why did these show up? I'm thinking about what I can do next, how I can take my, as I talked about last week, my responsibility for my life. How can I take that to the next step so that those things don't show up anymore? And so I learned to love them because I learned to love the lesson they were bringing. You want to keep them because they're yours to keep. They're yours. Yours to learn, to lose, to change, but especially, like I said, to learn from. And divine wisdom will take over if you let it, if you get into its vibration. When you lose the resistance of the hurt and the pain, divine wisdom will take over. When you stop fighting and just witness, divine wisdom will take over. And the anxiety, the distress, the discomfort will start to fall away. And it takes practice, and that's okay. Take the practice. And sometimes it will take a little willingness and willpower to step in and to learn to love it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Work it. Work the tool. Work the spiritual practice. Because as you do, you will allow your higher consciousness to do the work. You will expand your awareness with affirmation, meditation, prayer, and you'll stop judging yourself and others and focus on what you want, what it is you have decided to have. not what you don't want. You want to focus on what you decided to have. Peace, freedom, love, joy, vitality, energy. And it'll feel like magic when it shows up because of the many years of those emotions and triggers and addictions and reactions. You will be the witness to yourself having an automatic response mechanism. Now, when it's negative, I call it, this comes from your unconscious. When it's negative, I call it an automatic reaction mechanism. The usual term is automatic response mechanism, but to me, a response is something that I do intentionally, whereas a reaction comes from unconscious junk perspective. But as you do this work, you will start having automatic response mechanisms going on, full of constructive, loving, peace-centered, and calm ideas and actions. And the law will then bring forth more of that, more of what you decided to have. And it will bring it forth into your experience in IMAX Technicolor with 5D THX Dolby Certified Stereo Surround Sound. That's how big it'll be. That's how people sometimes say it's a miracle. It's a miracle I got over that addiction. It's a miracle I got over that trigger for anger or stepping out of life and being in fear. It's a miracle I did that. Okay, you can call it that, but the miracle is yours. Even if you had therapeutic help, spiritual counseling help, or anything outside of you to remind you, this help to remind you, you did it. You are the miracle. I want to end this by reminding you of a few things about yourself, and I want you to read this and speak it along with me. There's some slides, and Steve will pop these up. For the first one is, I am calm and at peace. I am calm and at peace. Number two, I am centered and informed by divine intelligence. I am centered and informed by divine intelligence. Number three, I am my authority with great energy and vitality. I am my authority. And I do it with great energy and vitality. Number four, I am the power of my mind and speech. My word is God's word. My word is God's word. Number five, I am the witness to my best thoughts, my best feelings, my best actions. I am the witness to all that is good, to all that is perfect, to all that is vibrating at the speed of the divine. Number six, I am the joyous song that sings an unquenchable smiling throughout the universe. With this joyous song in my heart, I smile the body electric. The next one, I am a lighthouse whose radiance is unending wisdom through all things. This is the power of the I am. Say this one again with me. I am a lighthouse whose radiance is unending wisdom through all things. And we end it with this confirmation. This is my ministry, my logos. I think this, I speak this, I write this, I live this. Say this last one with me one more time. This is my ministry, my logos. I think this, I speak this, I write this, I live this. And so it is. Know this and be the conscious witness of the best you that there is. Thank you so much. Namaste.